Hello, welcome to Between Two Worlds podcast. I'm Luke, I'm your host, and today we have our first irregular person.
Oh, yes.
So we have Ron here.
I'm here.
And we have Gitch here.
Hey, I'm here.
And we have the Abbotsford High School intern, Kendra.
Hey, but I'm here too.
Kendra, like, welcome here.
Personal information, Luke. You told us she's irregular. I mean, there's lots of things you can do for that.
I was wondering, Kendra, like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
You could be irregular and be okay.
I mean,
are you irregular?
Thank you, Ron. Thank you for that permission. I appreciate
Kendra,
that.
Kendra, you're an irregular person.
But maybe if irregular just becomes regular, I suppose. Or?
It's like, if everyone is special, is anyone really special?
Like, who knows what regular is?
I'd say Gitch is regular.
I just eat Raisin Bran. How do you know that Gitch is regular?
Look at him.
Just by looking at him, yeah.
I eat Raisin Bran.
You don't look like a regular dude, though.
He looks like some guy who'd have two scoops of raisins in his raisin
all bread the time.
Oh, are we talking that kind of regular?
What were you talking about?
I have no idea, but I didn't think I was talking about that kind of regular.
Wow.
You're regular.
Irregular.
And regular. It almost sounds like that's a math situation. Irregular and regular.
I just always go to the toilet.
I'm blessed to be here already. Yeah. Wow.
Kendra, can you say, actually, one thing that you've really loved about interning here at Northview?
Yeah.
I've loved not only Gitch, because he was pointing at himself, because, I mean, sorry, I didn't just give that away. I've loved that I'm able to, you know, I feel like I'm really accepted here and well-loved.
Thanks for sharing, Kendra. Okay, next question.
I feel like we can talk about important stuff, like if we're regular or not. Like, I feel like I could do that with you guys. It's really great.
That's the one thing you're going to take away from.
Yeah, 100%.
See, if you had regular attendance versus irregular attendance.
Ron, are you going to get past this one?
I don't know, but that, I just think it's more regular than not, though.
What's more regular than not?
To talk about regular or irregular. Because I have students who have irregular attendance habits.
You have a lot of irregular students.
No, I have irregular student habits.
College
in attendance. Yes. So, anyways.
I've met some.
I just thought I had to throw that in there because I was.
That's I am one of your students.
Kind of. I hear the cafeteria food can do that to you.
One or on students.
True.
You're irregular at college. That's what you said.
Cafeteria. No. I didn't say that.
Get off your phone and start paying attention. Come on, man.
Sorry.
Speaking of cat food, you want to know a fun fact about me?
I do.
I never purchased a meal at CBC in the 4 years I went there.
I know.
But you ate from there. You just never.
Oh, that's because people would give me free food. But other than that.
You never gave them money?
I never ate.
Never bought a meal.
I'm not sure if I have either. I bought waffle fries, though.
And you have never had a meal there?
I don't know if I've bought it. Yeah. By the end of the semester, you get all your friends on Rice who have a lot of money left over in their cards.
Ron, you bought me a few meals.
I certainly have bought you a few.
You
meals.
Have.
Probably will buy you a few more.
Really?
Everyone's probably bought you a few meals.
This coffee was free, the one I'm drinking.
He's drinking an extra large one.
It's like a
And Gitch bought me a coffee today, so thanks, Gitch.
But I
brought you all here today to talk about important things.
Yes.
Like being regular.
Or being irregular.
And large cups of coffee.
Extra large.
Oh, yeah.
But what we want to talk about is, should parents give their kids allowances? How much responsibility should kids have around the house? How dependent should the kids be on if they want to go out and see a movie and they have no money? So what should the money situation be like for?
That's a good question.
Parents and kids.
We should do a poll. If there's anyone listening, we should get them to weigh in.
Assume that people are
listening.
Sorry,
I didn't mean that.
That's the first step. If anyone is listening.
No, what I meant was if there's any teenagers.
Are there listeners?
That's right.
Listeners out there. No.
Is anybody out there?
Before that question, why don't we just take, in your lives, you three.
Four, counting you.
Well, we'll just say you three. Did you have responsibilities as a teenager, or like what was expected of you in the house? Yours was to provide for the family? Cause
it totally was.
Yeah.
I was one of the providers.
That's because Delmer was a...
No, he had to work too, but I worked harder.
Your dad's name's Delmer?
No, my brother's name is Delmer.
We went over this. Delmer Laverne.
Delmer Laverne.
Laverne was like
for a
name?
Mennonite.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I find that to be a very feminine name, typically. Laverne.
You should tell him that.
Well, my name was... No, we can't go that. We'll get that another story.
Yeah. So what were you...
Josephine.
Almost.
What were your responsibilities as...
Okay, well, let me start. I mean, obviously, I grew up in a farm, Saskatchewan, so that means that I believe probably grade 3 or grade 4, I was getting up early to go do chores in the barn, and that was either... that was everything, you know, and then eventually, I mean, that's winter, that's 40 below, that's every day, all day. If it was a day off from school, I mean, you worked all the time and that was without pay. I mean, I never got paid.
So you would do this, you did this all throughout high school, right?
I just thought it was normal that every kid would work. Yeah.
But if you needed something, you're like, oh, I want to go with my friends. We might get a cola for 5 cents.
Yep.
And a bag of chips for hot dog.
I would, you know, by the time I was, let's say, grade, you know, or, yeah, probably junior high, I was able to work on other farms too.
So you could earn money. Your farm, and yep, you'd work on another farm.
Which, here's the rule that was in our house. If I worked on another person's farm, half my money had to go to my brother who was at home doing my chores.
But he wouldn't always do your chores.
No, he wouldn't.
You would have to do your chores.
And then go work.
Yeah.
And so then I would have to give half of my money to my brother. But I still loved it because I still got money. I know.
He's older.
He was smarter. Great. Way smarter than me.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't take much.
Apparently that didn't take much. Seriously.
Did he call it the older brother? How did he convince you to give up half your...
No, that was my parents. Yeah.
Wow.
Peter and Susan, they were ruthless.
Yeah.
What did they take? What was their cut?
Salt half of pepper. Them? I don't know.
Their cut was Ron's not at home.
But
right
I mean,
now.
I, yeah. But I never...
don't have to deal with him.
But all the way through, I bet you by the time I was 14, I don't think my parents bought me anything. Hmm. I bought all my own clothes, everything.
Nice.
I had my first car at 16, licensed it, drove it. You know, I mean, never had any help from my parents, period.
Huh. Kendrick, I could be wrong here. No, I just was going to jump on that because Ron had said that was his experience. But I think that's probably for a lot of, shall we say, people of your generation, Ron.
Yeah. Mm.
People of the older generation.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right. It was common. But also in the prairies, that's because even people I know who are my age who grew up in the prairies, that's just part of living, right?
Is on the farm, you work.
That's just how it goes, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
That's all part of it.
So that is probably...
I mean, it's not that I think I feel like I missed out on a lot, but I mean, because I worked a lot of long hours early on. Uh-huh. And, but I enjoyed working though, too. I mean, for me, it was actually spending time with my dad was, you know, I mean, I looked up to my dad and thought, boy, you know, here we go. You know,
and that's the mentality, right? Is it's the family farm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What did you farm?
We had a kind of a mixed farm, cattle, pigs, chickens.
Regular stuff.
Yep. It was just... it all was absolutely worthless.
No irregular stuff?
We made it. Yeah, some of those animals were highly irregular.
Kendra, what about you?
What was the original question? What were your responsibilities?
Yes. Kendra, this is, you have to pay attention when you're on podcast.
I know, okay. you went for quite a rant, and I was just so caught up in imagining life.
Do we take notes?
As Ron, as a child. Take notes, I know, I'm so sorry.
So basically, what responsibilities did you have as you were a teenager? Did you have an allowance kind of thing or?
Yeah, I did have an allowance. I did it same with all my brothers. And there was I don't know if we had like a list of chores that we had to do, like those kind of expectations, but definitely like you have to help around in the house. And I had more of that when I was younger, like more of a kid, because we lived on like a hobby farm too. So like in the summertime when my dad goes and cuts all the branches off of the trees, like we had to go pick those up and stuff like that, and help around more with the house there. And then when we got older, yeah, there was just like less of that to do when we moved houses and stuff. And but there's definitely an assumption that I don't get to just like sit around and do whatever I want to help clean stuff. So
how much was your allowance?
It was like my it went up with how, like, the older that we got. Mm. It went up.
So nice. You were the only girl, right?
Yeah.
So did you have to do more housework
when
than
I,
the boys?
Wow.
That's a classic question.
Yes.
No.
No?
That's kind of.
I know.
I don't know. Like, we all had to do the same amount of outside work. So that was kind of that didn't matter. I always did laundry. I don't know why.
I do, because you're a girl.
but then my one brother, Caleb, he vacuumed a lot more than I did. So I don't know if that was just something we kind of ended up gravitating to do different things. I shared a bathroom with my brothers, so we all would clean it. Cleaned our own rooms, obviously, but.
Hmm. Did you clean your own room?
My version of clean, yeah. My mom's like, it's a disaster. It's a tornado in here.
So how much allowance do you get now, Kendra?
I get $1 million a week.
That's amazing.
Wow. So that means you're really old then, because you said it goes up with age.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm quite seasoned.
Yeah. Speaking of like sexist cleaning stuff, at Cape and Ray, when I went there, a lot of the girls complained that they had to clean the guys' rooms while the guys got to do work outside.
Let's be honest, though. That's kind of nasty.
It's disgusting.
I never had to clean my
brother's
room.
Why are girls cleaning guys' rooms?
I know. The guys had to put their clothes away and stuff like that. You couldn't have clothes out.
My wife was one of these female students. Yeah. Different year, but
every single week, the guys would not want the girls coming through the room. Like, I don't want girls in my room.
No.
So every week, guys would try to clean the room the best they could before the girls got there, but some guys just didn't care. So most guys would leave like notes, be like, "I'm so sorry."
Did the girls know whose place was whose?
Your names were on the door. So they'd come back and be like, "That guy's room is disgusting."
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, why are they making these girls clean these rooms? This is awful.
I would hate that.
Yeah. And so sometimes there'd just be underwear everywhere. Yeah. And the girl's like, "Am I supposed to like pick this up and move it?" Did you win, Ron?
I'm gonna try.
He's rolling up his rim, people.
True Canadian pride right here.
No.
He lost.
Did you win, Luke?
No, I lost.
No, shoot.
What about yours?
I'm the only winner today, hey? Well, Gitch hasn't rolled his up yet. Okay.
I got like a half a gallon to go yet.
You do.
Gitch, responsibilities?
Yeah, when we were young, like really young, like
what province is this?
Alberta. Mm. Canmore is a town.
Ugh.
Yep. Quaint little mountain town. Ugh. Still there.
I love Canmore.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a great
place. Do you actually roll?
Oh, I do.
Why? It's great.
Just outside of Banff. I like Banff.
Yeah, it's nice. Anyway, so from like a young age, we always had jobs. So I'm the youngest. And so we always had jobs kind of geared to our age. Now, I'm the youngest, so people say you get babied a little bit. That may or may not have been the case for us.
No, not with me. No.
Or you get dressed in high heels.
Yeah, that never happened either.
Wow. Wow. I wonder if we need to dig a little bit more.
It's a soft spot. No, so we would do things like, I mean, cleaning the room was a given. I'm actually a very, kind of by nature, a very tidy person. I'm not saying everything is immaculate, but it's tidy. It's neat. There's order and that kind of thing. So I like a clean car. As a kid, I liked a clean room. Like everything.
Your satchel.
That's right.
The satchel
that thing is organized.
It's awful.
No, it's great. So that for me wasn't a big deal, keeping the room clean, but I had things like dishwasher. We all chipped in for dinner, setting the table, cleaning the table, that kind of thing. So our allowance as a kid, I think, was pretty meager. I think we each got like $2 a week or something. And as we got a little older, it went up, I think, to $10 a month, which is slightly higher. That's a slight increase right there.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it went from $2 a week to $10 a month.
$10 a month?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I don't know. I can't remember. I was maybe 10.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that a lot?
I think that's a lot.
You give a 10-year-old a nickel and they're thrilled.
What 10-year-old is thrilled with a nickel?
I was.
That's
you're a simple 10-year-old then.
Wow. I would find 5 cents on it and be like,
yeah. I don't think that's a lot if that makes you feel better.
Thank you, Kendra. I think that's a lot. So, but one of the things that I did early on that a lot of my friends. Luke just. I don't know if you punched yourself or what. That was interesting. One of the things I did that a lot of my peers...
You found a nickel.
Didn't. I found a lot of nickels, actually. I would, no kidding, pick bottles.
Oh, yeah.
Because I always liked to have stuff. So I always had kind of a next thing I was working towards. I think I've told you guys about my basketball hoop. Then I wanted a drum kit. Then I wanted a mountain bike. And then a better mountain bike.
Basketball hoop throws me off, though.
Throws you off?
Yeah.
Good one.
Why you ever wanted a basketball hoop?
Dude, I got moves, man.
No, you don't.
You get me on the court, man, I'll light you up. I will.
That's such a lie.
Break your ankles, man.
Oh, boy. Oh, dude. Oh. Break. This is too funny.
Okay, so next podcast, it'll be one-on-one, me versus Gitch.
A video podcast.
This is going YouTube. I see it now.
No video, just audio. Just listening to them play one-on-one.
Dude, I got moves, man. So anyway, on with my story. I always had to have stuff was the bottom line. So I worked for it. And my parents helped me. My dad's very creative and entrepreneurial. So I would pick cans. That's how it started. And then I would go around to the neighborhood that we lived in, which was being developed. So there was a lot of construction sites. And I would drag my heavy wagon with a cooler fastened onto it and sell pop to other construction workers. And I did all these kind of things. And then eventually got a job and kind of so on and so forth. So for me, allowance wasn't like a source of income per se. It was more just kind of a perk, I guess.
So I guess the difference, I mean, we're talking about here is allowance and versus just giving your kids money freely, correct? Mm-hmm.
But I feel like when I was a kid, like we were expected to do chores around the house. At times we even had lists that we had to do, but it got away. We didn't get an allowance. But you would say, if you need money, ask.
Right.
And so I'd go to them like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to the movies. Okay, here's $20.
Whew. I gave you $20.
Sounds like you did.
Oh, yeah.
I think the difference, though,
that are nickel. I don't know the difference.
I think that what we're talking about largely is maybe less so of an allowance, because when I hear allowance, I think it's a certain amount of money to cover a certain amount of costs. Mm-hmm. Now, I think as any family member, you should contribute. So, I mean, in my opinion, things like keeping your room clean or bringing your laundry or whatever, or even doing your laundry or helping with dinner, dishes, that kind of thing. I think those are normal, or in Ron's case, like working on the farm. I think whatever your context is, I think there should be a certain amount based on your age and capability. Mm-hmm. There should be a certain amount of expectation that you contribute. And if parents choose to compensate for that in the forms of money, great. When I hear allowance, though, I think I've also heard some families who will do a system where they might say, okay, you have, let's say, maybe $30 a month. And of that $30, that's up to you to sort of pay your way. That's your allowance for those kind of allowable expenses like movies or going to the candy store or I want to get a hot chocolate or whatever the case is. There's a certain amount of money to pay for just extra things, which is not necessarily earned, but parents are going, hey, we got to control this. So let's pick a budget, 30 a month or 10 a month or whatever the case is. And all these things, I want new jeans or new shoelaces or whatever. It's going to come out of that.
Yeah. I think a part of some of my parents' thinking too, when they were creating that kind of system, was to teach us about saving too, because me and all my brothers we were very much saving oriented. Like, we didn't spend a lot. And so if it was, like, they're saving up for things like you were kind of talking about, Gitch. Like, I think of my brothers with their instruments, like when they had a band back in the day, cause they were super cool like that, high school. So I think that was a big part of my parents' thinking was, I think part of it is knowing their kids too, and knowing that when they gave us money, we weren't just going to spend it all the time. Like, I rarely spent my money. I did when my friends were going out, like when movies, stuff like that. And other than that, I was always putting that in my savings account.
No. So how much responsibility should kids have around the house? Is there stuff that's just expected or?
Well, I mean, in our world, I think one of the reasons why we went away from the allowance is that, you have four kids, they're all fairly close in age. If you give them all $10 a week, I mean, that's $40 bucks a week, and then it's also
$520 a year.
You know, so there's
times by four.
Yeah.
You had your phone out,
$280.
So, I mean, there's a lot of dollars that can go out the door that way without a lot of accountability. I find that allowance should equal accountability. That there's something in there that says, I'm happy to either give you allowance or to pay for things when you want to go out for your friends. But you have to have a buy-in in terms of doing some things around the house. So let's say it's mealtime, it's setting the table, it's cleaning the table, it's stacking, it's taking the food off the table, it's doing the dishwasher. It's, there's various things, bathroom cleanups, on a weekly basis. There was just always, there's a number of things that always had to be done on a weekly basis. There's things that have to be done on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And I think what it teaches kids is that this stuff just doesn't happen. I mean, money just, the old saying, doesn't just grow on trees. Right. I remember, and I don't know if I've said it before in this podcast, I remember, often we'd be driving along, we need some money to go someplace, and all the kids are in, everybody's in the suburban or whatever. And so I pull up to an ATM And for the first while, Janaea thought ATM stood for at the moment, you know, meaning that at that very moment, you could get cash, you know, and at the moment, you know.
That's so actually brilliant.
It is actually. I was actually smart. Quite,
isn't that what it means now?
It does. That is it what it means now.
At the moment. Yeah. So I think, you know, because we live in this instant cash society, a lot of it, and here in North America, for by and large, many of us are blessed with jobs and with, you know, a weekly income, you know, and all those kinds of things. And I think it's imperative that we teach our kids early on the importance and value of money, and that it just doesn't come without, you know, having responsibilities and learning work habits. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes a hard thing for parents, because you got to deal with grumbly, irresponsible kids. Like, you have to remind them to do their chores. You have to say, okay, this is it, you know, get it done, or, you know.
So what's that balance then between a certain amount of, maybe an agreed amount of work with the understanding that there's either an agreed amount of money coming or agreed compensation, or just the agreement that, hey, if you need money for X, Y, or Z, like, we'll provide that. So where does that balance become skewed with things like maybe unnecessary expenses? So, you know, your kid comes up to you, like, let's say when Luke was 14, comes up to you and says, Dad, I need a new pair of shoes. And I don't just need shoes to wear on my feet to get to school and back, but I need this particular shoe from this particular store, because that's the pair of shoes everyone else has, and I just got to have it. So where's that balance between...
I got more shoes that, like, no one else had, though.
You're a shoe guy, though, see? So that was actually a great example.
You mean you had better shoes than everybody else? More shoes? Yeah.
Did you? More? No. Oh,
not
no.
better.
No. Like, only one pair.
Yeah, we didn't
quality
have
over quantity.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was just an example. There would be other examples I could make up.
Well, I think there's special projects. I remember you helped me out on this one construction project.
Yeah, we did construction, pressure wash, and lockers.
Yeah, we did lockers, pressure wash. That's right, pressure washing, and some construction stuff where we'd have, you know, it wouldn't be money out of, let's say, the normal paycheck. Yeah. This would be above and beyond. I would look for work so that the kids would be the benefactors. Right. You know, just simply because we didn't have that extra money to say, oh, yeah, we get it, blah, blah, blah. You know, no, we had to look for ways to earn extra money so that these guys, if they needed a new pair of shoes, needed a new video game or whatever it was.
Kind of those non-essential,
Xbox,
right?
Or whatever. You know, all those kinds of things. So, I mean, so there's good things there that you can't get it right now, but you're going to have to work for it. And so I think we live in this world that says, hey, I want it instantaneously. Mm-hmm. Say, no, you're going to have to work for this. So if there's a retreat, you want to go... you know, it's going to be the, you know, the fall retreat or something like that, $100 or whatever, and you haven't got enough money. But, you know, there's ways that parents can help their kids work through that. So,
and I think one of the strong, maybe the strong suits of a system like that is that the student not only is the beneficiary, but the student, the child learns hopefully a work ethic, but also kind of this cause and effect, right? Work, hard work, honest work. There's a reward on the other side, right? And so you as a dad are looking for storage lockers or whatever. One of my students, he goes through and he buys cheap cars off Craigslist that, you know, they need an alternator or brakes or whatever. So they buy these cars for $400, $500. The dad will pay that, buy the car. Him and his son will do the work and they'll double their money and kid pays the dad back the first $400 and away you go, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So there's this kind of understanding, right? That not only is there some kind of money involved, but I think in 5, 6, 7, 8 years when this 10-year-old or 12-year-old is 20, then there's now a kind of a good understanding, right, of a work ethic. And the idea, like Ron, you said, that money does not, in fact, grow on trees.
No. What's the battle with parents whose kids have jobs, who make money, who, like, let's say, a 17-year-old who bought their car, pays for their phone, basically independent, except for, like, lives at home and not doing chores. How does that tension work?
Was that you? Were you a bum?
No. I don't think so.
Well, I mean, you didn't work outside of... what? I mean, you did more sports than anything else. So you'd have a few of the, catering jobs, all that kind of stuff. But it had to fit into your schedule, though, too.
I'd work ridiculous hours, though.
Yeah. I mean, like, a lot of times those would be late weekends.
Like, okay, you're going to start at 3 and then go home at 2 in the morning. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Those are great nights.
I think what you have to be parents need to be reminded that money can become a god very, very quickly. Like, the more money I earn, the better I am, the more things I can buy. And, you know, and that's the world we live in, that money speaks like that. I mean, if you look at advertising, if you look at, you know, and the clothes, the accessories, you know, I mean, I need that new iPhone, that, you know, all those kinds of things. So if money is easily attainable, that can be the one thing that it kind of ushers us into that worship of money. And you want to be careful as a parent that you, even though you may not know that, or you may know that, that, you know, hey, I don't worship money and all this kind of stuff. I know where it comes from and you're very, very mature about it. But yet your kids are thinking, you know, about all of this. And you have to, there's a teaching moment on this. And I remember at a youth specialties conference, John Stackhouse from Regent, he said, he gave a list of 10 things that parents and youth workers need to teach their kids. The theology of, and he had a whole list there, but one of them was the theology of money. You know, and obviously the Bible talks a lot about money. Mm-hmm. And we just finished our series on bling. And from Old Testament to New Testament, there is a lot of emphasis on money. And, you know, if you go back to Deuteronomy 6, you know, I mean, the influence of parents on their kids and the importance of teaching them, what are we teaching our kids about money? And that's an important thing. I mean, I learned to work very, very hard as a kid. And I've always associated, you work, you get money, you know, work hard, you'll get money, you know. So I think those are things that you have to do. There has to be a balance, you know, on all this. We don't want to hold on to this cash so closely that it becomes something we worship, you know. I think, Kendra, you mentioned savings, teaching your kids how to save money, how to tithe, you know, even at an early age, you know, just you earn, you go babysitting and you make your $20, you know, and whatever that percentage is, you know, kids can give that $2 away or whatever, you know, and I think that's important. I mean, all of our kids had we had sponsor childs.
Yeah, we helped with children.
Compassion. You know, we just always had that, and that's where the tithing came in from you guys.
What's interesting too with that is, even just speaking as, I think, mostly an adult. Am I an adult?
No.
Someone asked me that.
I think
the other
you
day.
Count.
You have a child.
Why are you questioning that?
You should. You
I
should
had
be
a grade
very
six
confident.
Asked me last week. Are you an adult?
And you should I be thought, very confident with that. You have a child.
I paused. I don't.
You did pause, didn't you?
I did.
Did you think about it?
And then they got bored, so they walked away.
You started sweating? That's because they're like, my wife gets just standing there sweating.
Anyways, so my question was, or my comment was that I think it's interesting, Ryan, you're talking about, you know, you make 20, it's important to learn to tithe. And I think if you can be faithful and diligent at a young age with that, you know, $2 off your 20, when you're older, because believe me, now an adult with a salary and a family and all these things, Let's take 200. If I come across an extra $200, it's not the easiest thing to tithe, you know, the 10% or more off that. But learning these habits and these good disciplines early on makes that easier, because it's the same thing. If you come across 200 or 2,000 or 20,000 or 200,000, right, that increases. But if you can be faithful with the 20 as a kid or a teenager, you're setting yourself up for success down the road.
Mm-hmm. What about a $200 Starbucks card? How do you tithe that?
You give it to me.
Okay.
Then you've tithed all of it. And I will bring you to Starbucks and buy you a drink.
Or you make sure that you take a couple people out and pay for their drinks.
There you
and
go.
That's...
I
like Kendra's version better than Gitch's.
Because I can also get something out of it, because maybe I'll get a free coffee.
See, she's selfish.
If you give it all
like
to Gitch, I don't know if I'll...
A few times I've gone to Starbucks and people have gone in, you know, earlier in the day or whatever, and they've bought a gift card, who knows for how much, and have just told the barista, hey, pay for everyone's coffee till this thing is out.
Yeah.
So it's happened more than once where I make my order
have
and
you
the
ever
lady...
Have done that?
No.
Isn't that the whole pay it forward thing?
Pay it forward, yeah.
That happening.
Nope.
Eek.
Well, thanks for joining us. This has been Ron, Gitch, Kendra, and Luke at Between Two Worlds. Kendra, since this is your first time and probably last, you want any final thoughts? Final thoughts with Kendra.
Final thoughts are...
Just kidding. You'll be welcome back.
Oh, really? No, probably not. I don't think so. Final thoughts are, as you were talking, Gitch, I was reminded of the parable of the talents. And I think about...
Nice segue.
I know, right? For, for whatever you've been given. And yeah, hopefully people can learn the lesson. Hopefully we can teach our kids about the lesson of whatever you've been given to be able to do our best to glorify God with what we've been given and to give back through that. So yeah, whether you're going to give your kids allowances or make them all pay for everything that they do, I think that you can have kids on either end of the spectrum that end up being good stewards of what they have been given and end up being good, godly people who are glorifying God with what they do. So yeah, I don't know if there's necessarily...
Drop that mic, formula. Girl. Drop the mic.
Thank you so much. I would. I don't want to hurt it.
Final thoughts with you.
I'll just get my own segment. You guys just a podcast. I won't get invited to that. And then you won't tell me what you talk about and just make me do a final thought.
We'll just have you start in.
Start your own podcast.
At the end, and we'll just have final thoughts with Kendra each time, even though you have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Just give your thought on whatever.
Like, Coca-Cola is better than Pepsi. Bye.
Whoa, okay.
That's my final thought. That's my final thought.
We digress.
I don't like that thought. But anyways,
I'm so sorry.
Thanks for joining us. Where do people go if they want to ask a question?
Or... agulovich@northu. No.
No, that's wrong.
It's between2worlds@northu.org if you have any questions.
And negative feedback goes where?
kgiesbrecht@northu.org.
Yeah.
All good.
No, I could spell that out if anyone wants me to.
Giesbrecht, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Maybe J. Giesbrecht.
Giesbrecht.
Jay Markin.
Ooh, I don't know about that one. Okay. Thanks for joining us.
D. Kuhn at Northview. We go on.